ॐ शारदां देवी रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मीतयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि नतुर्मुखे. So we are discussing the essence of the Narada Bhakti Sutras. What is the nature of first definition? What is Bhakti? Supreme devotion to the supreme reality. What do we get? A person becomes free from this samsara bandha. But it is not, as some people imagine, nirvana. It is neither a state of happiness nor a state of unhappiness. That's not Vedantic view of nirvana. The highest happiness a person can have, that is the view of Hinduism, Veda. And he gave some, having obtained which, he becomes intoxicated and he becomes like Jada and he doesn't want anything. And then what are the virtues? He doesn't want anything. He never grieves. Means always happy. He has nobody to make enemies of. No feeling of enmity will ever arise. And he doesn't want to do anything except in thinking about the Lord. What else does man want? So we run after objects. Is it because that we get happiness from the objects? Or is it because we don't get happiness from the objects? Because we don't get. They are experimenting, tentative. Can this give me happiness? Seems to be giving happiness. No, no, no. The other object seems to be giving more happiness. Like that, we are not seeking the objects. We are seeking happiness. Not realizing, as they say in Sanskrit, kasturi dirjvanar. Animal called Kasturi Mrga. And beautiful fragrance comes from its nadi. But it doesn't know. We are like that. It is going on searching. It is somewhere outside. And then ultimately it runs and runs and runs and dies. So we are like that people. We are all in search of happiness. Thinking that happiness comes from outside. So Ramakrishna is to give an example. A camel goes on eating thorny bushes, thinking all the juice is coming from the thorns. No, it is coming from its own mouth. But the thorns help it to bring the blood from its own self. Painful, but it doesn't give up. So we are all in such a, our own true nature, which is such that. Once we get it, the whole world can be forgotten. The important point is the whole world is created by God, not to delude us, but to teach us the important lesson that whatever we see is absolutely within ourselves. This bhakti is not kamayamana. It is not of the nature of wanting. In fact, it is just the opposite. Nirodha rupatva. It puts a brake to every type of anxiety. Why? Because any type of desire will only create unhappiness. When we are getting happiness from within ourselves, in no object, we cannot tolerate any object. I'll give you some small example. Suppose you are reading a book and it is giving you so much of joy. If anybody comes and wants to disturb you, let us have a talk. Then you feel like slapping them. If it is unavoidable, keep it as short as possible. But if it is avoidable, immediately use. Why? Because that object is becoming, not only doesn't give happiness, it is an obstruction to the happiness already you are enjoying. That is the nature of struggle. Then, what is this? If one wants to obtain this bhakti, then why one has to be completely indifferent to all worldly objects and then depend totally upon that's being said in the ninth sutra. Tasmin ananyata. Anyata means something else. Ananyata means this is the only object. who is that object? Only God and no other. And that virodhesha pugasin and complete indifference with regard to everybody else other than. So, other than God, there could be two types of people. Those whom we like and those whom we do not like. But with regard to God, if there is no God, then you try to associate with people whom you like. They will give you more happiness. But when God is obtained, give up both. But virodhish, the whole world is an inimical object to the world. Limitation is an enemy of unlimited. That is what we need to believe. So, anyashrayanam tyago ananyata, completely giving up dependence upon everything else, is called ananyata. So, there are some swamis, they are named as ananyananda. The word swami ananyananda. Na anya ananda. He will not get happiness from anything excepting from God. Anything. Here, Narada is giving a caution. These are all characteristics of highest bhakti. Until we attain it, we should be strictly following the scriptures. Scriptures only teach two things. What to do, what not to do. Vidhi, what to do. What to do means must be done and must not. Nishedha means must not be. So we have to follow strictly the teachings of the scriptures. Until we attain. Once parabhakti comes, we don't need to do anything. Why? Because it becomes natural. So you cannot do anything wrong. If anybody does either something good or something bad, what is the end result? If you analyze, you'll find that we do some things because we are expecting happiness. We do something because we are trying to rid of some suffering. Similarly, opposite way, we give up something because there is a pain in the neck. Or we get rid of something to get happiness. So positive things also have both sides. Negative things also have got both sides. For example, you don't like somebody. Then it is natural you want to get rid of it. And you like somebody. Therefore, you want to associate with them because you get something from them. This is positive. What is negative? Also, some people always bore you, give you pain, etc. What would be your attempt?
To be away.
To get rid of them. Why do you want to get rid of them? Because getting rid of them, you gain happiness. That is the only reason. So, that is what he has given. If we do not follow strictly the scriptural teaching, there is a chance of falling down. Sri Ramakrishna's life provides us with great examples. Told some people, don't associate one man, don't associate with that woman. He thought he's cautioning him, he's not forbidding. Sri Ramakrishna's words, he never says to everybody, don't do it. Some people he says, because he knows they will observe. Some people he knows, they just listen, they don't observe. So it is not good, he suggests. Then the devotee thinks, he's only suggesting. So there is no harm. He uses his own logic. After some time, he questions him, he has thought. So also, he cautioned. There was one instance. One woman was in trouble. Some man came and with genuine interest, affection, without expectation, he helped her. She had become very, very grateful. But she had become terribly attached to the person. And that led to her down. So man also had fallen, woman also has fallen. Only thing is, we don't know the names. Some we know, but we don't want to mention. Some we don't know. Like that, so many people, scripture is there to tell us whether there is a guru or not. We know the scripture. For example, do not tell a lie. Do not misbehave. Do not drink alcohol. Do not smoke cigarettes. Do not eat certain types of food, for example, restaurant food. Is it dangerous? You know why? For two reasons. One reason is that they put lots of this oil and masala for the sake of creating taste. But this is the least of the real problem. But the real problem, the person who is cooking, if that person's character is not good, that impurity, it flows through whatever the person does. Touch the cloths, touch the food, touch him, touch her, anything. That is why only the mothers never have any impurity. She may be an ignorant person, but always she wishes the good of the children. So there was an instance. There was a disciple and brahmachari of Holy Mother. And one day, Mother, I never had any spiritual experience. Will you please give me some? Well, probably he was ready, or he was in a benign mood. She fetched him, immediately had an experience. And it was continued. Then she cautioned, do not eat food. Either you eat here in the ashrama, or if you have to eat, cook food cooked by your own mother. One day, he went to a neighboring village. Jayarambati was a small, many things were not available, even for purchase. So he went shopping. At noon, he was really tired, hungry. Some devotees saw him and said, Maharaj, you are here. It is time to eat food. Please come to my home. It's very near. So Brahmachari thought, he's a devotee. What is wrong with that? He did not understand what he meant. This thing event. The moment that food touched his body, immediately the spiritual experience has risen. So they may be good people, but they may be impure people, because many impure people, we do not consider them as evil. There are in people only, so-called good people, they will be cherishing evil, impure thoughts inside. They don't put them into practice. There are some people, there are only few people, who actually killing, lying, all those things, they put into practice. Such people only are arrested by the police. They come to the notice of the society. But most of the people are impure. They cherish impure thoughts. And some people cherish more impure thoughts than others. But out of fear of police, the fear of society, or fear of tradition, etc., they don't want to follow them. Practice.
Swamiji, for us, if we have eaten outside or something like that, that will retard our progress.
If you have to eat outside, then offer it first to the Thakur. I am hungry. I have to eat. Only in that case. Otherwise, what is there? Carry some bananas, etc.
No, Swamiji, in all these days, what we have done, that would have retarded our progress.
What you have done, now it is too late. Don't regret. When you go, say, for to the dispensary or somewhere, if you are traveling in an aeroplane and it is 10 or 12 hours travel, there also you can carry it. If you carry some fruits, nobody will mind it. You can buy all those things inside. Outside, they won't allow water, certain things, they cause contamination also. But inside, there are plenty of shops where you can buy sandwiches, fruits, chocolates, biscuits, and cold drinks, anything you can buy inside. And they themselves also will suffer. But we don't know who is. So if you have to eat, just offer it to Thakur or Mahatma or Mother, and then you eat as person. But where it is possible, you carry pure own food. It is pure food. Yes. So then, Narada is going to tell how bhakti can be improved. Like there are different teachers, they advocate different paths. How do they advocate? Whatever they practice, they lie. That is what they teach to their followers also, devotees. Says, Katha Vishwiti Gargaha. Garga says, listen to the stories of God itself. So, Puja Vishu Anuragahiti Parashayaha. Parashaya means Vyasa. Vyasa, he says, well, you do puja, you do aratrikam, etc. Many people, they love puja. Well, it involves some physical activity. Whereas, listening to the stories of the Bhagavad Gita, either you are reading or you are listening to somebody chant. For example, Ramchandra, one person chants in a musical tone, and so many hundreds, they go on listening. Then, Atma Rati Avirodheniti Shandilya. So here we get four teachers. In the end, we see so many teachers. Here only four teachers. Parashariya, Garga, Shandilya, and Narada. What is Shandilya telling? That whatever activities will not drag you down into the mire of samsara, but always they will lift you up towards the Lord. Anyway, so that is, according to him, one of the ways of developing bhakti. Narada's, but Narada, Tadarthita Akhila Acharata. You offer every activity that you do, what is called Loka Veda Vyapara. Two types of activities, worldly and spiritual. Worldly means work. You have to eat, you have to take bath, you have to meet people, you have to work. These are all worldly. What is spiritual? It has nothing to do with the world. You meditate or you go to Punik, the Bhas, etc. Whatever you do, first offer it to God. And tasmin, tas vismarani, if you happen to forget, because when we forget, we don't remember. But after some time, we remember. Oh, at that time, you have to blame yourself. What type of bhakta? How could I forget? Many times it happened. One Swami, great Swami, later on, he was there in Kerala. He was offered headship of many Vidyashrams. Wherever he went, he threatened, I don't want this. I want just to be an ordinary son. Give me some work. I don't want head of the center. The headquarters forcibly. He made him head of the Delhi. Simply ran. And then he became a great son. Then how he came to this state of spiritual development. One day, he was traveling in a bus. He was going somewhere, I don't know where. And the bus, it overturned and fell into a village pond. Of course, you know, at that time, he said, the villagers immediately came and they opened the doors. It was not a big pond or anything. So they took out everybody, but it took some. But he was telling. Not once I remembered at that time. The only thought was, how can I? Because everybody was rushing towards the doors. How to, maybe in such a way, you have to find out a way how to come out of it. Villagers probably broke the windows, etc., and were pulling out people like that. So then he said, I was shocked. What type of sadhana I am doing? I did not remember God even once. From now onwards, I will only devote myself to this and not to anything else. So this is what brought him to that practice. So tadvismarane paramo vyakulata iti cha. So then naturally our question comes, is there somebody who will always remember God and who feels terrible if they don't remember God? Are there examples? Plenty of examples. And of these examples, one example is, that is, Sri Ramakrishna says, you will not get greater devotees than Gopika. Their tanu, mana, dhana, everything was totally dedicated only to God and to nothing else. So, yatha vraja Gopika. Then he says, some people may have a doubt. So, these are all very ordinary people, illiterate. that they just saw Krishna as a beautiful man and fell in love with him. Narada is telling, no. First of all, they were not illiterate. Secondly, they were completely aware of the Mahatma, glory of Bhagavan Krishna. That means they know he is not an ordinary human being. Moreover, they were all married and they would never have deviated from that. But they knew who he was. According to Sri Ramakrishna, they were all 64,000 rishis performing so much of tapasya in Dandakaranya. And what is the proof that they were like this? Because that Gopika Gita gives us that beautiful, their understanding of Krishna. Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan. Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Drit. You are not the son of an ordinary Gopi woman, who had a woman. You are the indweller in every creature. Indweller means only indweller or outdweller. He is also outdweller. That means he is everywhere. He is everywhere. If God is everywhere, who am I? Is he inside me or outside me? Then who am I? Simple question. That's what he is stating. Tatrapi na mahatmya jnana vismruti apavadaha. Here also, there is no such thing. They forget at any time the glory of the divine. If anybody forgets the glory of the divine Lord, tadvihinam jaranameva. So they become like prostitutes. If one woman falls in love with another, if one man falls with another, other than their own wives or husbands, they are called public men, public women. So English language speaks only about prostitutes. But prostitutes means both male and women. So there are male prostitutes. Yes, they are handsome people. They have plenty of money. And every day they will get thousands of service. Rich women, boring women. No. These people, they are not public women. They love. That love is not worldly love. That is divine love. That is called bhakti, parabhakti. Not only that. Nastiyeva tasmim tat sukha sukhitvam. That we are loving this person. For our own happiness, that feeling then now the group is never. We want tat sukha sukhitvam. We want his happiness only. Krishna only has to be happy, not anyone else. That is called bhakti. You love somebody. And what for? I get happiness from you. No, I love you for your sake. Whatever I want to do for you. That is the idea. Understood? So with this, the first chapter, and I said this is not Narada's classification. This is later on, some people have done this. See, what are the important ideas? So, what is the greatness of this parabhakti? So, param bhakti mahatvam, glory of the greatness. It is greater than karma, jnana and yoga. Karma yoga, jnana yoga and raja, greater. Why? Karma yoga is very different. From somewhere, this attachment comes. Attachment to the fruits, attachment to the work and attachment to the ahankara. Karma yoga has got these three elements. So, you are working somewhere. The ashrama. The fruits go to whom? If you are working in a ashrama garden, all the results will go to where? Ashrama. So, you know it from the parable. Therefore, you don't even think about it. But you might like that. You might not like some other way. But if you love God and God says, I want you to do this work, will you do or should you do or should you not do? Your personal likes, dislikes, you have to sacrifice. What God wants us to do, we have to do. So that is called karma yoga. It's very difficult. Then, right, Jnana Yoga is even more difficult. It is like assaulting a mountain, Shikhara, Everest. Sometimes you have to go like the Everest area. There is an area, particular areas. When they flash flood, we come nobody. And it takes maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes to cross. Completely dry. It looks as though it is nothing, just walking on a plain area. But many people died. Hardly they started walking, they reached somewhere in the middle. Huge flood water. Simply it goes then, throws them down from the mountains. That is the end of it. You are never near it. So that is why they take all the weather condition, whether somewhere it is upper regions, it is raining. Many people are not aware. That is why it is called flash flood. What is flash flood? Within minutes, it becomes like a huge storm torrent. It will overwhelm trucks, trains, everything. You see now, nothing, completely dry land. After 15 minutes, it is raising water, storming, and moving like that. Anything that comes on their path. How many animals are there? How many things are there? There are some other type of floods. Slowly, drop by drop, they come. And then it is, people go and take bath and again, very happy after many years, they may be there. When you see that one, swimming away, years ago, all the animals and everything, there's one fish, it's called mudfish. It is also called catfish. Catfish. Magur Majidipat. It can survive on land also. As the water is drained, it goes inside and outside. And all animals, you know, they just walk and then take one. It's big. And have fish. And some of these fish, salma, it's called salma. They are born in fresh water. Then they come to the sea. Whole life they live. And then to breathe, again they go back. They have to climb like that through the water. And then they give, they lay eggs. They mate, they lay eggs. And that is their last end. And you can see all animals gather there and eat. Anyway, what I'm telling, yeah, that all this Jnana Yoga is very difficult. You think, how is this fish going to swim? Through the water, against the odds, some terrible urge is there. I have to go there. I have a mission to accomplish. Salmon. Like that, God has created this huge fish. And somewhere they have to go. And this architect bears. Hundreds of bears together. And you know what they do? They just catch it, just wade into the water, hundreds of salmon fish, huge fish, and then they catch hold of them, and then they eat. Do they eat fully? No. They just eat a little bit head or something, and they are not dead. And then these birds and other weak animals, they will all be waiting for that, and they will go on. Slow, painful. Anyway. So, bhakti is, you start with bhakti, you develop in bhakti, and ultimately you end also in bhakti. And there is something very important. Karma yoga may not give us joy in the being, but this Raja yoga will not. So you have to control your Raja yoga. What is Raja yoga? You have to control your mind. We know how difficult it is. Your mind is like a huge monkeys. And the monkey is not only monkey, it is drunk. It is stomach. It is possession. Such a monkey. And that is ordinary monkey we are talking about. What about Naravanara? Naravanara is Brahma, about a Brahmachari. Brahmachari, Sata Markataha. 100 monkeys equivalent. So, who can describe the condition of this restless mind? To control that mind is very difficult. That struggle. Do you get joy? You won't get joy. Jnana Yoga. Well, this world is mithya. God is. All that I see is the world. Whatever little happiness I get only from this miserable world. Is it miserable? Do you ever look upon this world as miserable? Some things are miserable. There are equally some things which are joys. First class, you are very hungry in the morning. First class, idli, sambar, is masala dosha is served. Is it a miserable world? Whatever. At that time, we permit it. Why? Because, you know, these are available only now. God is available always. So we can think of him later. Especially when we are hungry. So difficult to deny this worldly unreal. How hard it is for us even to understand this. But we have to do that. Temptations will come. Not only big temptations, small temptations. Most of us don't progress, not because of big temptations. Small temptations. Suddenly your mind gets. What do you want? I want to eat something. What do you want to eat something? Do you want to eat something sweet? No. What do you want to eat? I want something. Somehow that mind is longing for that particular taste. How restless it is. Maybe a small chocolate, but it wants a God. At that time, concentrate on God. See what happened? Very good. So, sadhu karma jnana yogopi adhikatara. Why? Pararupatra. It is its own result and instantaneous. So, here is a psychology. The moment you love something, always it brings joy. You love food is available, you feel happy. You love to read a book, that book is available, you feel happy. So, before reading the book, you are happy, you got the book. While reading the book, you are happy, I am reading the book. And after reading the book, you are happy that, yeah, I am able to complete this. What will be the next book? So much of love means always joy. Love means always there is only joy. Never separate love and joy. So love, joy, memory, concentration. Equal proportions you get always. You remember anything about, you know, your sister or your mother or your child. Papa, I want this. You bring. When you return to mom, you will never forget because you love somebody whom you don't love. They may tell something. They'll give you this, that, please. You can tell them. But this you will never forget. That is the nature of love. Therefore, memory is there. Where there is memory, there will be interest. Where there is interest, there will be concentration. You read something which you love, remember. That's why a botanist, a gardener, he can recite the names of every plant. And he is showing this belongs to this botanical species. Like, what did he tell you? You don't remember, because you don't have any interest. If you have interest, you don't have interest, not remember. So, you know, I give my own funny example. A student comes. Oh, my memory is bad. I read everything, understand everything. I have the answers. But then when I enter into the exam hall, the whole thing is gone. So one day he's a young man, one day he's going, but the opposite to pavement, one girl smiles at him. He will never forget it in his own. Why? Why? Because at that age, that is the most interesting. She may be mocking also at that he may not understand. But remember, these words, suppose she tells, my name is Sons. He will never forget. How did this fellow forget, manages to forget everything except it? Why?
Interest.
So these love, joy, memories, and concentration, interest. They're all one and this. So he's telling that. This person, bhakti means what? Love of God. Therefore, everything that is related to God is a joyful account. Beginning itself. I'm not talking about when the person attains Trimbakya, Paravan. Beginning itself. It starts with joy. It starts with love. Love grows. And it ends with uninterrupted love. Uninterrupted love is uninterrupted remembrance. Uninterrupted remembrance is uninterrupted journey. And concentration, automatically. That's why it is called uninterrupted. If it is interrupted, then it's not uninterrupted. So we remember something. Uninterrupted joy is not. One example, to understand this better. Suppose there are parents. They're not keeping very well. They have a son or daughter to be married. Marriage day is fixed. And then, how hard do they work for 3 families until the marriage is finished? Is it not? Perhaps they have to go to bed after 12 o'clock. Again, they have to get before 3 o'clock, especially just before marriage day. Do they feel tired? They don't feel tired. You tell them other occasions. So you work a little bit hard. Then they say, oh, I'm tired. I feel like going. And they will go to bed. Why? That's why this psychology. I think I told you. 2 examples of it. One example is very interesting. There is a factory worker. In the past, factory workers used to, most of the workers, 5.5 days they used to work. Saturday, half day. Half day, Monday. So this fellow is working in a factory. And the factory manager calls them, supervisor calls them and says, today, lot of orders have come. We have to work. Those who work, we will give you double wages. Can you work after your normal? One fellow, he rebels. What is this? 5.5 days I am working. You, am I a slave? You are always giving me work. I will not work. So he refuses. He is voluntary. So he goes. What does he do? Goes home, packs some sandwiches, takes a heavy backpack, and climbs a mountain. Which is easy work? Which is easy work?
See, the factory work was much easier.
Factory work is much easier. And he will get double the wages. But he refuses. He is doing almost double or triple work. Why does he do it?
He derives joy.
He doesn't want that job.
He does it because he loves. He gets joy from the very thought that I'm going to climb a mountain gives him great joy. So even though it is hard work, but he does it because he's getting joy. But here, even though he's getting some extra money, he doesn't have any interest in that job. If they give pay without working, he'll be very happy. Not going work itself. Work is no joy unless a person loves something. Scientists or musicians, they work very hard because they love it. It's got job satisfaction. Some people love their work. One doctor I was going, you know, he's a retired fellow, come from military. You also drove that. I was sitting there. Every day he works somewhere in the hospital. He works home. And he starts at 6, sometimes he comes 6:30 hours. He works 8:30, he works. Plenty of patients have. And then I heard him say that you come empty stomach to such and such a hospital at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. What does that mean? Saturday also?
He's working.
He's working.
So his job.
Yeah, he So why is he working?
Satisfaction.
No.
Right.
Money. Here it is money. Okay. Suppose this same fellow is told, without money you work. Some people, they want to serve. But most people, without money why should we? That is the attitude. So no work is ever done for the love of the world. But if somebody has got a garden, all day he will be going on the carpenter. All day because they love. There are some people, rich people, they take to carpentry, they take to animal, goat raising, chicken raising, cow raising, honey raising, garden. They don't need to do it because they are not lacking money. But they do it because they receive so much joy. Sometimes they may lose money much, but this is what's the thing. So what are we talking about here? That the bhakti is greater than all the other yogas. Why?
Joy.
Because it starts with joy and grows in joy, ultimately ends in pure joy. Whereas the other ones, you get joy only after long time. Here from the very beginning itself, you are getting so much of joy. It is like, you know, a boy, poor boy, loves eating sweets. He got a job in a sweet meat shop. And he knows that whatever sweets are not sold, he can eat as many sweets as he wants to eat. So it is a joy from the beginning. In the end, whether later on when he becomes sweetness itself, whether it is a joy or not, we don't know. So then he goes on telling that Ishwarasyapi abhimana dveshitva dainya priyatva cha. A bhakta is always humble. A gnani can be very arrogant. I am God. That is gnani's attitude. A bhakta's attitude, I am nothing. God is everything. He will look out. And God doesn't love this egotistic purpose. God always loves those who are very humble. Sri Ramakrishna often used to say, the rainwater always gathers in a pool. Where there is a high mound, it just flows for a second and then flows. Because the receiving capacity is not there. That is what egotism does. Egotism doesn't allow us to receive. But there are people who are great scholars. Vidya dadati vinayam. So, true knowledge always gives that sense of humility. The more knowledge we have, the more it makes us humble. Because that very knowledge we have makes us understand how small is our knowledge compared to the vast ocean of knowledge that exists. Whereas a fellow who is only small learning makes them egotistic, arrogant, proud, and always looking down upon other people. That's why vidya dadati vinaya. How to know whether a person has real knowledge or not? If you see humility in him, he has real knowledge. By the way, Nag Mahashaya was supposed to be one of the greatest examples of humility. Sri Ramakrishna conquered the world because of by his humility. Yeah, he used to bow down, and that is how he taught others how to bow down to sadhus. Okay. So, Ishwarasyapi abhimana. Abhimana means egotistic. I am such and such, so great. Dainya priyatva. He loves. He loves means what? You can say there is a low pool like that. Now, water loves to go where? Where does water gather?
Low-lying areas.
Low-lying areas. Why? Because it loves. Why does it love? Because you love me. You are able to receive. The other fellow is rejecting me. That is what Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful parable. Each parable is something to be meditated about. There was a scholar and nobody recognized him perhaps. One day he was crossing the river by a boat. And boatmen are usually illiterate. So the fellow wanted to show up. Have you studied Sanskrit grammar? So they said, what animal is that? I never heard about this animal. Bring one shape.
You were dated 6:30, Swamiji?
No, no.
No? Okay. I thought at least 2-10 minutes I agreed.
I came here at 5 o'clock.
I know I'm late.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm going on.
Constitute every day.
Huh?
Goes round and round the temple. Occasionally, I encounter. And I lift up her spirits by giving some chocolates.
But that's all. Not attending the lecture, but taking the prasad.
Yes.
See?
That is what true devotees of God, we always love only prasad.
Thank you, Dad. Yeah.
Okay. So, the scholar was asking, have you studied Sanskrit grammar? Oh, no. I don't know what is it. 1/4 of your life is gone. Have you studied Kavya? No, sir. 2/4 of your life is gone. Then have you studied Vedanta? I don't know. I never heard of it. 3/4 of your life is. Meanwhile, a storm arose. The boat was about to sink. The boatman asked one question. Do you know how to swim? He said, I don't know. Your whole life is how beautiful. So when Sri Ramakrishna was young, in the villages and Brahman pandits used to be there. Ka pandits, not big pandits. And they used to read Ramayana, Mahabharata, etc. for these people, and then the villagers would be able to at least hear. Because every language they have written the same Ramayana, Mahabharata by local people in simple local language. So for example, here you know, which Ramayana is famous in Kannada?
Kuvempu's
Ramayana. Earlier there are also some Ramayanas. They are all written for local people. Based upon these originals, but in their own language. Like that in Bengali also. Some simple words by just reading, most of the things the local villagers would be able to understand. So, but they can't read. So they hire these people. They were given nice seats and they put nice cloth and they feel this fellow very proud. I am the greatest here. And then, like that Nashya, they show how. And then sit there, and then with peculiar nasal, like that nasal voice, they go on expounding, reading, etc., feeling that they are the greatest. And Gadai absolutely 100% is watching them. The moment they get up and disappear, he starts like that.
Immediately.
And these people enjoy it so thoroughly. The imitation is so authentic. And he was also a great reader. If anybody wants, he will read very humbly. He himself will go into bhava. And he is not reading for the sake of benefit of anybody. He reads because of, for, in his own interest. Like that, Sri Ramakrishna was beloved. So beloved in that whole village. If any family, any mother prepares any special dish, the first thought is not their child, Gadai. How soon can I feed Gadai this particular spirit? That was what happened to Sri Krishna in Gokula. Every gopis used to come again and again, even baby. That's what happened to Sri Ramakrishna. All the women, they will come. After 15 minutes, why did you come? No, no, I thought I forgot something. I forgot actually why they came. This is some inexplicable attraction. This baby gives them so much joy. Now you can understand. If a baby can give so much of joy, that means what is the baby?
Wrong.
Ananda Swarupa.
Ananda.
See, if you are getting good smell from an incense, the incense must be good incense, isn't it?
No.
Like that, a good flower. It must be giving very good fragrance. That is why it is giving such a heavy, laden smell. Even they say snakes are attracted by this night queen, they call it.
Yeah.
Sanajaya.
Champa flower.
Champa
flower.
Also, this too.
Snake is
small. Jasmine. Creeper. The moment you pass underneath, so underneath the tree also here, some flowers are there. They ದೇವ ಕಣ್ಣಿಗೆ ಅಂತ ಹೇಳ್ತಾರ. ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್? ಇಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಜಾಯ್, ದಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ಅನ್ ಎಂಬಾಡಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಜಾಯ್. ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ನೋ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಗಾಡ್. ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಾಡ್, ಬಟ್ ದೇ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಜಾಯ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಎಂಜಾಯ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ವೆನ್ ಎವರ್ ಎನಿಬಡಿ ಫೀಡ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್, ಗದಾಯ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಸೋ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. ದೇರ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಯು ನೋ ದಿ ಮಾಡರ್ನ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ಟು ಫೀಡ್ ದೆಮ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಬಿಗ್ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಟಾಸ್ಕ್. ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ 2 hours ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಮದರ್ ಟು ಫೀಡ್ ದೆಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ಬಟ್ ಗದಾಯ್ ವಾಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಗದಾಯ್. ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ಲಿ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡು ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಹಿ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್ಸ್, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲ್ಲಿ. ಹೋಮ್ ವುಡ್ ಯು ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ಫೀಡ್? By feeding whomsoever, you get the greatest joy. For that person only you want. Any activity like that, but you want to sing. In front of whom do you want to sing? Those who don't like your singing or those who admire your singing? Other you won't get, they also won't get enthusiasm if there are no admiring. That's why some people, these politicians, you know, they have to pay and hire people. Oh, wonderful, clap. Even nowadays they will be clapped. And they have to send trucks out. And they have to pay for that to drink also, to feed them. All this money they pay. That's why, otherwise, who is interested in these useless fellow's talks? He doesn't even know what he is talking about.
Yeah.
And actually, it is many times it is written by their servants.
Yeah. They don't know which party is talking.
They don't know either. Some people don't even know who to read. This Chambal Valley, that Kunda, that Bandicoot woman, they became MP or like that.
Yeah.
What does she know about reading? There are some ministers. Because of money or some power, they become like. Anyway, what is the point? We are always attracted to people or to joy, wherever we can get. There are some devotees, from the very beginning, they are getting joy only from God. So it starts with little joy, grows into bigger joy. Ultimately, the devotee himself becomes of the nature of happiness, ananda swarup. So naturally, that he will be very humble. Humble because he says, I have attained to this state, not by my effort, but by the grace of God. A jnani says, Brahman has to come to me, aham brahmasmi. A bhakta says, oh Lord, you have to attract me to yourself. I can't even travel. So a devotee is like a small bindu, small drop. Says, I can't come to you. He says to the ocean, you have to come, fall upon me and make me one bindu. Whereas a jnani says, I am the samudra. Hey, drop. So you come and fall into. Who is the bindu here? God. Who is the samudra here? Himself. Aham brahmasmi. This is the attitude. Some people are really, they have got an eye. But this much Sri Ramakrishna's teaching, without God's grace, nobody is going to move 1 centimeter in life, either spiritually or secular. There is no way. No it for certain. It's all God's way. Takali, Tomari, Icha. So, an important point is, how do we get bhakti? Some people say, knowledge. First you get knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of God. When you know God is having this, you know about God. Oh, and this hotel, good cooks are very tastily, they can cook. After getting knowledge, you feel the desire. I must go and eat in that restaurant or hotel. This is some people's view. So, some people's view is, because I am a bhakta, therefore God, out of His grace, He has given me that devotion. Whereas, the more devotion a person has, the more knowledge also we get about God. And it's also natural process. What is the natural process? See, you are interested in garden. Suddenly you develop interest in garden. You don't know anything about garden. So what do you do first? First thing is, you go to some gardener and say, teach me. What is this plant? What is this plant? What is this? So your devotion to the gardening has taken you to the garden. And the more knowledge the gardener is giving you, the more devotion you are developing, attachment you are developing to the plant sets. Then you see the difference between various plants. This is a very rare plant, exotic plant, exotic, like antiques. One fellow went to an antique shop. Many antiques, very old things are there. So he was moving restlessly. Suddenly one very valuable old this one fell down. He knocked it out and it broke into pieces. Some china, a jar or something, an illustrated jar. The owner started beating and said, what have you done? This is 3,000 years old. The fellow said, oh, I'm relieved. I thought it is new. Old one is gone, what is there? Yeah. One fellow was running an antique shop. A foreigner went there. Looked, everything looked brand new. Brand new. Antique shop, brand new. Because he asked, hey, is it antique? The owner got so angry, pulled him to the back of the shop and said, it is fresh. We are making it just now. You're making antiques fresh just now. For people like that. So, first, our samskaras produce bhakti, and also life teaches bhakti by giving slaps. When a person undergoes terrible miseries, then his ahankara is knocked out. Then he depends upon God. Oh Lord, there is no gati accepting your grace. Then maybe he will be saved. Then he will develop, it's all God's grace, and stay. Then he starts praying, reading, and attending spiritual activities, etc. Then the more he goes, the more knowledge he gets about God. The more knowledge he gets about God, the more his devotion is grows. So bhakti gives knowledge. Knowledge also gives, improves, helps us to acquire more bhakti. That is how bhakti yoga narada is. Anyonya ashrayam iti anye. Swayam palarupa iti brahma kumara. Who is brahma kumara? At least last kumara. Kumara means brahma kumara. Narada, the author himself, is telling swayam palarupa. Bhakti starts with bhakti. Bhakti ends with so what is this? Beginning bhakti is a small bhakti. But he ends with what bhakti? Parabhakti. Yes, not. That is its own proof. He doesn't want jnana. I don't want to know who you are, what is your knowledge. I don't want all those things. I just want to love you. That's all. I don't know anything else. Parabhakti means what? He will never forget God. He is always bright. All those characteristics. He never regrets. He never becomes sad. He never wants anything. He never hates anybody. Always, he has only one thing. I want to remember God and nothing else. That is how my life has to go. Then, one important point. Where is this bhakti? Does it come from outside? Or is it already inherent within us? Are we, God's Swami Vivekananda Prat, potential bhaktas. We are potential bhaktas, Arna. Yes. We are from the very birth, we are potential bhaktas. But here, we don't say bhakti here. We say lovers. Potential lovers. Why do we say lovers? Because love is a word we use. Even in a child loves its mother. And in fact, a child doesn't love anything else except its mother. Because its whole world is only mother. If mother is absent, it sees dark. Because it's totally dependent upon mother. It cannot do anything. Even if a mosquito comes and bites, the child cannot do anything. Of all the pranis in this world, human being is the most helpless. Even a cat is born with some sharp nails and teeth. This fellow has no teeth, no nails, no hair, totally dependent upon only somebody else, mother. Usually it is the mother. So that is the idea he is giving here. This is, what is it? We are all potential lovers. From the birth we love our parents, then slowly expand that love. Then when a person is married, then the person loves the partner, then children come, they love. Like that it goes on and on and on. So potentiality is to be brought. Certain practices will bring out, remove the obstacles and brings out the potential bhakti within us. That is what the scriptures teach us, the gurus also will teach us. So that is what he is telling. Tasmat saiva grahya mumukshubihi. Therefore, those who are seeking liberation, especially through the path of bhakti, bhakti margameva grahyam, only take to the path of knowledge. One of the important qualities of this saiva. You know what is the important qualities of, very characteristic of bhakti? Humility. What is the humility? I am totally helpless. I am totally dependent upon you. Without your grace, I cannot even survive. Oh Lord, please take pity upon me. This is what Sri Ramakrishna thought. This is called, in his own language, Marjara Ishora Nyan. Like the young one of a kitten, totally dependent upon God. So, we will stop here. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Guru Padapatne Dayos Chitva Pranamami Mahurum.